We're back again in the lovely offices of Tarlo, Breedhart and Rogers, and that means we are radio entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I want to thank Mark Furman for hosting us, and my co-host is the incredible Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Hi, Mark.
Jeff, great to be here. You're incredible.
Oh, this thank is great. You. Thank you. Someone's got to say it. might as well be you. You know, our next guest, I'm so excited to talk about it, a new reporter on Radio Entrepreneurs, and it's Frank Rudowitz of Markham. But Frank is our corporate fraud reporter, and, he told us offline that, you know, you find new fraud every day, and we're going to talk about the Clark Rockefeller case, which you were involved with, correct?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the case and bring us into the political intrigue and economic intrigue of what went on here, because all entrepreneurs need to be careful, correct?
Absolutely. Now, Clark Rockefeller is a great story, and it's a case study in the mindset of a fraudster that had five different personas and personalities over the span of about 25 years. And he was always able to ingratiate himself into a small circle of high net worth, very intelligent individuals in different communities from California to New York to Boston. And he would prey on the social capital of those people, where there would be some suspicions of him, and he had different names all the way through. People might have suspicions of him, but they'd say, well, he's a friend of Jeffrey's, and if Jeffrey likes him, he must be okay, and they don't ask any more questions.
Right,
and
right.
They'd go along that
right.
way. And he would always have enough information to bring a conversation to a certain level, and then you back away. For example, he used to tell people he was a physicist. Well, how many people can carry on a lengthy conversation about physics? He'd get to a certain point, and then you'd feel shy, and you'd stop asking questions.
Right.
But he did this, and he stole a lot of money. We got involved in the divorce. The wife hired us, where she was well-to-do, and before they put an offer on the table, she wanted to know if he had squirreled away some money during the marriage. As we started looking into the background as an asset trace, it quickly turned to a background investigation.
Interesting.
And my report that went to the court, because there was a child involved in child custody, basically said to the court, we don't know who this guy is, but he is not Clark Rockefeller. And what we found is that in 1993, this Clark Rockefeller individual just showed up in New York City as if he was born as a 34-year-old person, because there was nothing on him prior to.
What about a Social Security card? What about license?
Yeah, he claimed that he never had a license because he never drove.
And in New York, you don't have to.
And he never had applied for a Social Security card because he's a Rockefeller. He never worked, and he didn't need it.
Jeez. This was a big-time national case.
Yes.
So you were the bird dog who sort of pulled up the data that got this all going?
We did on the background, and then once the divorce was finalized, we were now removed. And it's one of this where, as a dog chasing a bone, now we weren't allowed to chase it anymore.
Right.
So we stopped until he kidnapped the daughter. He had his first supervised home visit. The wife had moved out of the country with the 7-year-old. Supervised home visit. We were then retained to act as a surveillance, not for security, but to monitor as an unknown third party to see, because it was a supervised home visit. There was a social worker there to see how he interacted with the child.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, we were there when he kidnapped the child. My guy actually called 911, and it unfolded from there.
Wow.
But he had it all planned out.
So what's interesting here, obviously, he was there to monitor how he interacted with the child. So this was not really involving numbers and chasing numbers and forensic accounting. This was more of a sort of using more social skills.
Correct. But in all fraud cases, the forensic accounting and the calculating of the numbers is a piece of it, sometimes a large piece, because you want to know what the damage is.
Right.
But there's always other tasks, whether that's computer forensics, social media deep dive, we call it, traditional surveillance, interviews and finding other people that might have knowledge. That's the bigger pieces.
Now, for entrepreneurs, they start businesses, they build a lot of relationships within their own organization, they build partnerships within an organization, and these relationships become very familiar and very casual. I assume, based on my career, that there should always be a stronger warning out there for entrepreneurs about white-collar crime within their own organizations. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. And one of the main pieces of advice that I give, and this is for large and small businesses, is at certain points, whether that's once a year, once every couple of years, to do a real task analysis of your people, including yourself. Because what we find when a fraud occurs is that you didn't realize that Frank had access to those certain things in your company because it went on for so long, you trusted him, and now instead of just being the IT software engineer, they also were acting as the CFO for one area of your company because someone had left, you trusted them, they had some knowledge. We see this a lot when people leave the company. And instead of as a temporary measure, you give their assignments to someone else until you can fill, but then you don't take away their access.
Or their codes.
Or their codes.
You don't
exactly.
change the codes. You pass the codes on to somebody
exactly.
else. Right.
Passwords and things like that. But in almost all cases, when the fraud is fully uncovered, the individuals, the owners, the entrepreneurs step back and say, I didn't realize she was doing that. I didn't realize he had access to that. Because business was getting done, they were trusting the individuals, and they had their fingers in the cookie jar.
So do you ever, I'm sorry, Mark, you want to go first?
No, what I was going to say is it's interesting. You're talking about posts, but you know what I'm finding is that a lot of companies, even in the last 2 years, companies and law firms that would never even do this are doing background checks, really sophisticated. Everything, as a person in the employment business, every candidate now that we place, there's a background check.
Yes.
Well, so what's I'm finding interesting is just even before it's you're finding, I'm sure, that companies are sort of concerned even going in.
Well, it's not only going in because the best way, not only for fraud or violence prevention, to stop someone from stealing from you is don't hire them in the first place.
Right.
It usually is repetitive, and you can find something in their background at the beginning.
If people have a pattern, they have a pattern. It's not. It just doesn't start.
It just doesn't start. For most.
For most.
Although with your controls, there's that old adage of the 80-20 rule. 10% of the people will never steal. 10% of people given the chance, 10% of people will always steal given the chance, and 80% can go either way, depending on.
And I would say 80% lie. Without some of them, it's endemic to our culture, and they don't even know they're lying. So mm-hmm. or deception. I mean, now I'm going to create a scenario that maybe could exist one day, and I'm going to give my sort of fantasy. So many times I start with organizations, and they ask me to give an organizational assessment, and I go through the organization and I give them feedback about what's working within the structure, what's working within the team, how the team is really capable of performing in the future. And I would think that you could be part of an assessment of some form of looking at organizations in terms of what's really, you know, are things really working the way the owner wants it to be? No different than hiring a new accounting firm that review the financials. Now, you work at an accounting firm, so I would think it would be better for an entrepreneur who's living a complicated life, who has a lot at stake, to hire you pre versus post, correct? That's my long point. It took me a long time
yes,
to make
right.
that.
Pre, right. But also, as we do fraud risk assessments for companies, oftentimes the initial part is to look at the internal controls. And a company will say, I did that last year, I think we're fine. But then I'll ask, do you really know your people? So-and-so's worked here for 12 years. You did a background on them 12 years ago. Do you really know what their life is about now these past 12 years? And I got this because a friend of mine retired from the FBI, was there for 30 years. He says, when I joined the FBI, they went back to my kindergarten teacher. They went back to my elementary school teacher. They knew everything about me. I've been here 30 years. They know nothing about me because they've never done a check again.
Interesting.
And people's lives changed. There might be financial difficulties. They might have some other
competing
businesses.
Well, that's usually what happens, especially right now where you're looking at a potential downturn of the economy. If people have been playing sort of games with money, doesn't it? They're under a lot more pressure during downturns of the economy because they have obligations to people, and that's when they start to squirm. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Right.
And it may not be just them with the financial difficulties. It could be a relative. It could be a family member. It could be
a sick person in the family that's putting pressure
yes.
on them. Wow. You see, Mark, it's really it, you know, and I know, this has big implications.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And you could even see this, I hate to say it, Mark does a lot of work for law firms. You could see this in law firms too, where you have some big law firm, a lot of partners are under pressure. I'm sure you see it in professional service firms as well, correct?
I've done.
White collar is not separate from breaking the rules.
And you're with a professional services firm, so right. You
so,
would know that.
In some years, depending on the economy, there was a point in time that I was getting lots of calls from larger law firms to do backgrounds on incoming partners that were being, you know, transfers, lateral transfers. And it wasn't really to find the criminal aspect of it, because they were clean, they had a member at a bar. It was really, do they really know the people they say they know? How can we find out that they're going to have that book of business that we're paying them for coming in the door?
Interesting.
You know, I interviewed somebody last week, and we'll, nameless, of course, for a company, senior position. And during the interview, that person told me confidential financial information about the company, which they were using to negotiate their compensation, which immediately, that wasn't that alone, triggered me to wonder, could this person be trusted long term? Mm-hmm. The information, you know, was used inappropriately, and it wasn't my main reason. I don't want to get in trouble with anybody, but it really was a factor that really, you know, perked my ears up.
And that works both ways. If you're interviewing with a company and they're asking you for inappropriate things, is that a place that you want to work?
Right.
Frank, the other thing is, do you have, like, when you're doing, one thing is like one-off projects, but do you have companies like that keep you on retainer, like, on a regular basis, because they have a lot of employees coming through?
And turnover.
Yes. You know? We don't do, and this is by choice, we don't do pre-employment screening per se, where you're doing backgrounds on all levels.
But there are companies that do that.
Absolutely, and they must.
Right.
But that's a commodity, volume-based service. We focus on the executive level, board appointments, higher level, where you need to have a deeper background.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, for example, one area that our company specializes is partners with books of business. And you could do a typical background check, as you say, which is they all do that. But one of the things that continues to frustrate a lot of our clients is people saying, we have this book of business. And they don't. And it's maybe half that, or they don't let you know that, it got inflated because they won a big case, mm-hmm. and now it's back.
Or in certain areas of the law where it's a family business type, where there's no public record like litigators would have.
Right.
You really have to find out who their network, who's in their Rolodex, and are they as close as they say they are?
Interesting.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot of really provocative and interesting stories with Frank over the next year, especially if the economy does go down. I think we're going to see a lot more squeaking going on that people didn't expect as cash flow becomes tight personally and corporately. And so I think he's going to be a great reporter for us. But Frank, if someone just doesn't want to listen to you on air and they want to find you, how would they do that?
They can find me by email, which is frank.rudowitz@markhamllp.com. Or my phone number, 617-807-5210.
And I'll say it again, you get my endorsement. As a management consultant, you were one of the few interviews I've had over the last 5 years that I actually said as soon as I met you, we got to get together, I need to learn more about what you do. It's intriguing. And I think for most people who own valuable assets with lots of people that they rely upon, meeting Frank is not a bad idea. He's going to bring
Absolutely.
You a perspective on your business or your assets. It will really help.
I appreciate that. And it's not that we're going to find things bad about people all the time. It's also to give you peace of mind.
I'm just
going to
say that sometimes it's like not finding the bad, it's reinforcing the good.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, again, we're going to have to take a break. Remind everybody we are at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, and that was Mark Z sitting beside me. And we'll be right back after these messages.